As a heart can be, 'cause we're all a ruin like broken leaves. I give you me in oceans of tears, up to my knees, stitched together like pants and sleeves. I carry this carapace worn thin by he and she. Dance to dusk and strung along the highway. I found my way belligerent, following the stars of your eyes. And if you take me inside, then you give me a place to hide and cry. I'll bathe you in the crystal light that sleeps between my thighs. At times you fear that the angels sigh to the Lord and heavens that this ain't right. But in this chalice you'll find the wine. Our hands hold bonfires burning bright, and the heart is dumb and the heart is blind. But I think you'll find that the Lord is kind, and I pray you'll cherish this tarnished offering, burnt silver, blush lavender, offspring.
Sunday afternoon and time once again for Wordplay. I'm your host, Jeff Davis. Thanks for joining us on Asheville FM. My guest today is Graham Hackett, who's founding director of Catalyst Poetics. Graham, thanks so much for coming in today.
Yeah, I appreciate the invitation, Jeff. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so glad to see you. So you've got some big shows coming up.
Got a few things in the works.
Yeah.
As usual. Stay pretty busy that way.
Yeah, I know you do. Right.
Keeps me from being bored.
Yeah, I know.
Keeps me out of trouble.
Right. Yeah, it beats doing something on the dark side or whatever.
That's
you could
true.
Rob banks, or good. You could run Catalyst Poetics. You know?
Good point. I'm not really into banking these days.
Yeah. Institutions to stay away from. Well, tell us about Catalyst Poetics.
Catalyst Poetics is an umbrella name for the fusion of Catalyst Productions, which is a production company here in town that works in all different types of genres of art, focusing a lot on spoken word poetry, and the Poetics Experiential Arts Program, which all Catalyst productions go to funding. So the Poetics Program serves high-risk youth through a variety of partnerships with other youth service agencies throughout the Asheville area. And so all in all, it's a community endeavor, bringing a lot of people together, rallying around and trying to support youth in this area.
Yeah. And you've been doing this for a while now.
Yeah, it's about 5 years running.
Mm-hmm.
Got to experiment a bit, going out to the Swannanoa Valley Youth Development Center on the request of one of the teachers out there named Stephanie Wilder, because she wanted to find some extracurricular activities to engage these youth that are not really being reached through traditional academics or and with not a whole lot of other options in the way of extracurricular anything. So they really feasted on it. They really enjoyed writing poetry and learning to speak their own work. And after getting a grant from the local arts council to formalize the curriculum, we launched it. And Poetics has been an institution in Asheville for the last 5 years, serving that same population from the detention center and a variety of all different kinds of middle school and high school age youth in the region for ever since.
Well, that's great. Yeah, how many people do you work with at a time generally? I mean, in a given semester or not the world is divided
students,
into semesters,
you mean?
But students especially. And
I believe I just calculated that through 2009 we worked with 349 students. And that was through like a handful of like seven partnerships, including Leaf in Schools and Streets, the outreach program there, the YMCA, the YWCA, Horse Sense of the Carolinas. Sometimes private schools, public schools, charter schools, after-school programs will all rope me in and let me do a workshop for their student population. So I get to talk to a lot of different kids.
Well, that's great. That's great.
It's been quite a ride. I've been really enjoying it. I learn as much from them as hopefully they learn from me.
Oh, sure. No doubt. Right.
Kids have slightly different filters than we do. So the poetry that comes out from there is pretty raw and pretty amazing.
Yeah. Do you have kids of your own by any chance?
I do not.
You do not? No. Oh, yeah. Well, so this is also your parental energy goes into this as well in some ways.
Perhaps.
I wonder. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great. That's a great channel for it, though.
Yeah, these projects are definitely kind of my babies.
Yeah, they're your babies. Right.
I like to nurture them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. Good work. How did you come into that?
I actually got a degree in theater. And so after traveling the United States for 10 years and taking stage as an actor, I realized that my favorite parts about it were primarily Shakespeare, which is spoken poetry, obviously, and the education element. I learned so much by practicing that art form about myself as a person and about society and about all the moving parts that it was one of the best educations I could have asked for. Unwittingly so. Most people try to like beg off from doing arts education, but I found it to be the root and core of some deeper understandings about...
Yeah, it gets you to the nitty-gritty.
It really does. It does. And I translated that into this education program when I transitioned from theater into spoken word in 2001. I was actually... there's a brief story with that of having seen the towers drop from my roof in Brooklyn.
Oh, wow.
And then feeling compelled to go into Manhattan that day. And there's a moment that I had when getting as close to ground zero as I could and looking at the plumes of black smoke. There were shafts of golden sunlight breaking through the plumes of black smoke. And I was just struck by the duality of the epic tragedy and the amazing amount of beauty, just raw aesthetic beauty that was right there in Manhattan on that pivotal paradigm-shifting day.
In spite of it all.
And the same week, I had sort of channeled all of those feelings and all these observations into a spoken word piece that I was able to deliver at the West Side Rhyme event in Soho that week. And sharing that poem with the New York community and having it be so raw and so relevant and the feedback that I got from the audience, it just changed everything from doing the interpretive artwork of an actor reading somebody else's words to being able to share my own ideas in a visceral way with a thriving community and of audience members and poets that are just growing and getting more dynamic every day. I realized that was my path.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent. Yeah, well, you're lucky to discover it, you know, whenever.
Yeah. True. I feel extremely lucky, I've actually... I've worked for a variety of youth service providers over the course of the past several years, and being able to just work solely on event production in Asheville, making amazing shows, working with amazing artists, and working with the youth in this area to help them find their voice, I am genuinely blessed. I really feel very lucky.
Yeah. Well, good, good. So do you happen to have some work with you today that you could share with us?
Oh, indeed. I'd be happy to. The next event that's coming up is this coming Friday. Yeah. And as per the story I just told about my roots in spoken word, everything that I write since then seems to be juxtaposing one way or another love and mass murder. And these things just these sort of rival forces in our lives, you know, as much as order and chaos and what have you. But the poetry comes out something like this. Some people try and compare this pebble earth with the size of the night sky, and they soon come to realize that there is no us and them, my friends. It's just us. But some of my brothers and sisters are becoming insane and unjust, so it gets left to those of us who can't even sleep, because the beauty of this life is so rare and so deep, we've got to keep diving, thriving in the midst of this exquisite mystery, electrified by pure possibility. Because it's the sole counteraction for this manufactured sense of futility that's been imposed upon our parents, 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 generations deep. This legacy of greed creeps into our collective consciousnessness. And I'm serious, the media is still producing these massive hallucinations, but get this, we are wide awake, lucid, and we're on to you, compelled to push back against simply pleading ignorance while this system wrecks our children's future of knowing any joy or love to the fullest. They watch from above, loading bullets but aiming for your soul. This ravenous pursuit of control at any cost is what evil is at its axis, and is getting paid for with our taxes. So come on and shine on, my fellow maniacs. Battle back when these hate breeders attack with some true, true love. Let the thought of it keep your head in the clouds and above, because wildfires of ideas do fly far faster than bullets. But we're running late. In honor of your freedom, artists, educators, students, activists, ethical scientists, I don't know, everybody, make your ideas fly, because it's time to spark some debate and communicate.
Very nice, very nice.
Solid, battle the hole in the infinite, be the little guinea pig dig. I'm trying to make an exhibit of ripples in the water, no splash. Let the poison slide down, down the hatch, just like
dream,
that.
Dream, war, war, love, love, honor, crime, crime, innocence, innocence, tragedy, tragedy, sunshine, friendship, friend, death, death, hash, hash, heroism, heroism, God, 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 suffering, joy, joy, fate, fate, destiny, destiny, treasure, treasure, star, star, skull, skull, hunger, hunger, murder, murder, side, side, mayhem, mayhem, health, health, pain, pain, space, breath, breath, sound, sound, guilt, guilt, pride, pride, time, time, dream, dream, war, war, love, love.
A little Aesop Rock. Welcome back to Wordplay. I'm your host, Jeff Davis. With me today, founding director of Catalyst Poetics, Graham Hackett. So you've got a show coming up very soon, this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's that going to be like?
It is the latest in the series of the Poetics Lounge events.
Mm-hmm.
And Poetics Lounge is sort of the answer to a typical open mic when you don't really know what you're going to get. And
right.
I think everyone's been to a couple of open mics where they, you know, probably put in half an hour longer than they wish they had because, unfortunately, without knowing what you're getting, there's a very broad range of amateur talent that is available for your consumption. And a lot of it that is not fully realized as far as its potential can be, you know, painful to watch in over the course of a long period of time. A friend of mine called it like a 40 minutes of therapy poetry is something that you can get at an open mic. And that's, you know, it has its place, but I feel like the Poetics Lounge is extremely different because we offer a variety of featured poets that you know are going to be delivering some pretty amazing artwork, as well as open slots for newcomers and amateurs to try their hand at it.
Mm-hmm.
In between these different sets as well, one thing that's pretty unique about the Poetics Lounge is that we provide other arts experiences. In the past, we've had dance, we've had live music, and this is no exception. We've got...
it looks like quite a mix.
It is, actually, yeah. We'll have a beautiful lady named Simran Thind, who is going to be singing some beautiful a cappella Hindi songs. Making the title of the Poetics Lounge is planetary, and a big part of that has to do with looking at global culture. And so the a cappella Hindi songs are sort of to try and transport us into a wider mindset so that it's you're just wide open to hear whatever anybody has to say on anything with the poetry.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and then we've got an amazing music producer named Logos who put out an album called Biophilia that totally changed my mind about what electronic music can do. Extremely ethereal soundscapes, and then he's going to be cutting beats live over these soundscapes that he's been producing on his own. So also setting an atmosphere of, you know, something planetary.
Yeah.
Definitely worth checking out. And he's going to be accompanied by Vijay Neb Cinema, a gentleman named Ben Mason, who is a digital video projection artist. And someone that's more in love with technology than anyone I've ever met before in my life.
Uh-huh.
He loves it. So he creates his own video content and mixing software and creates beautiful imagery and juxtaposes it with the music at these events.
Uh-huh. And, of course, also there you'll have the Poetics Vanguard.
Absolutely.
And who are the Poetics Vanguard?
The Vanguard is an ensemble of spoken word poets that I was able to assemble over the course of the past year or so. And it's a handful of spoken word artists and more traditional academic poets that... As a unit, we are more than the sum of the parts. We all have extremely distinct styles and some thematic things that we speak about as individuals. But we come together to perform at a variety of different festivals, including local ones like Trinumeral. A couple of years ago, Loki Festival, we performed at Leaf, and this past year at Bonnaroo, which was quite an opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
So it's great.
That must have been a hoot.
It was nice to be on the same bill as some extremely prolific artists that I've admired for a really long time.
Yeah.
So it's a treat to, again, more than the sum of the parts. That's the PXV, the Poetics Vanguard.
Huh. So how long have you been working with these poets?
A little over a year. We started collaborating, and occasionally we will put together a poem as a duet, or work on a group piece where everyone is involved, or any variation in between. And so we like to add those dynamics. It's sort of an a cappella band, almost.
Yeah. Which sort of gets you back to your roots in drama.
Collaborating on the narrative, sure.
Multi-voiced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. And definitely anyone that hasn't seen what we're doing, I can't speak highly enough about the poets I get the opportunity to work with. Mm-hmm. And I've also been really fortunate to meet a lot of poets in this area that will be attending the event. And there are a handful of open slots that I know some of my favorites are going to be filling with their amazing work as well.
Cool. And that's coming up this Friday, January 22nd, mm-hmm. at the Hookah Bar downtown, right?
Absolutely.
Right. So where is the Hookah Bar, just for those who are going to be searching this event out?
Sure. It's 38 North French Broad. It's right by the Federal Building, in the same building as Club 828 and Club Hairspray.
Okay. All right. The Hookah Bar. Mm-hmm. All right. Good.
One other detail, I didn't mean to interrupt, is that the proceeds from the Poetics Lounge are being funneled into the Poetics program serving high-risk youth. Mm-hmm. So everyone who comes out, just know that it's not simply a ticket price. It's actually supporting a good cause as well.
Right. And the tickets are very modest, too. They're $7. So that's,
definitely try and make the events accessible to everyone.
Sure. Right. Well, that's going to be a lot of fun, yeah. So I tell you what, I was amazed. I'm always surprised when people do things from memory, especially long extended pieces, which you did the first time out. And do you have another one of those stored in your brain cells?
I've got a couple.
A couple?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the one that is kind of my opus, mm-hmm. is the one that started my spoken word career on the week of 9/11.
The one of 9/11. Yeah.
So that's definitely seared in my memory, and I think it's got a pretty good message that I like to share with people.
Okay.
So low. Been rolling so low for so long with my soul so low. But yo, no, not tonight. See, tonight is about the goddess who is love, who is here in the studio with me and Jeff Davis. We want to be members of this moment. I want to be her archangel and enfold the soul of this wounded world within my cloudy wings, but down at ground zero, that siren, she still sings some provocative propaganda and nuclear scale warnings. Utopia must be for sissies, I guess, because I got F-14 Tomcats howling thunder across my skies to preserve this illusion of security. And I catch myself daydreaming of some joy-filled, sweat-soaked lovemaking. But more on this later. That's a completely different poem. How perfectly human. Another sucker for sex and violence. How perfectly twisted in my chest to feel this blessed while the shrill sonic pleading of a couple million moms fades to silence. You get numb sometimes. You get real humble. And then sometimes you want to jump up like, what the... This is just a symptom of a dead serious spiritual sickness. The bubonic sedative hypnotics of mass media's dancing lights are serving the interests of a tiny ideology. It's the white lords of this global economic aristocracy. Yeah, it's an economic aristocracy. She drops a kiss on me and it drives me back, bam, through a wall. And I'm left dizzy and laughing at nothing. Driving her thigh between mine, a lightning bolt replaces my spine, and I'm skipping steps from slime to the divine. All the while, still trying to pick apart these planetary designs that began way before our time, compelling me to take this passion and carve it into perfect compassion. The type that's capable of cracking the cycle that history's proven ain't getting us very far. People are coming at me with genocide as a legitimate option. Because otherwise, white boy, what's the solution? Like, I shouldn't even be talking with that one, but you know, just having the choice to use my voice means I'm gonna use my voice. So though my thoughts stay mixed like drinks, you dare me to speak what I think. You want some? Here it comes. Kill, and they win, right? Like Spacey in Seven, it's a setup designed to watch us mess up. I'm not saying just shut up and hand them a victory at exposing America's tender underbelly. I'm saying we gotta go in deeper than that. Into the collective psychology. Reroute the wiring. Because we're all just electrochemical superconductor neural processors, right? wrong. Because in our chest, each and every one of us knows that collective cultural evolution's the only option. Airtight. Collective cultural evolution. Where was I? Oh, right. Lying on my back, laughing at this black comedy with her. And now I'm standing here with empty hands and this swollen blood pump thumping in this cage of ribs in this modern age of smoke and rage. Baby, you should know. Though I come off as tweaked and geeked as some radical, fanatical, impractical, tactical bomber of love's key targets, like a rambling, scrambling Nimrod pre-adolescent. Let's face it, I'm like Mickey in Fantasia over here. But I got this countryside, midnight skies worth of love for you. At your disposal. At your leisure. I do it for your pleasure. But they're telling me that's not really what it's about. Because it's got to be about what? Well, it's got to be about the war. But it's not really about the war. It's really about business then. But that's not really what it's about. So what is it about? It's got to be about not joining the noise of a conformist cacophony when you could be designing your own symphony. But that's not what it's about. Because it's got to be about love, right? But it's not really about love. Because it's actually about loss. But no, it's not about that. It's about loving again, because we can. And what else? It's got to be about seeing the signs. And about what? About working the rhymes. And what else is it about? My friends, you know what it's about? It's about time.
River, running river, river runs so deep, river, sweet river, river carry me. River carry me. Será un charco tratando de quedar en el corazón.
Estella, that was very nice. I always ask guests to bring in music that they listen to, and it's always a mix, an interesting mix, and you've got lots of folks that I've never heard of. All very nice. Yeah, yeah. So you've got another show coming up at the Black Mountain College Music and Arts Center, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell us a little bit about that. Is that going to be a Catalyst Poetics production, or is it going to be something slightly different?
It's actually being produced by the Black Mountain College Museum. Mm-hmm. So Catalyst Poetics is sort of a partner. Primarily the Poetics Vanguard, the ensemble, is going to be partnering with Sebastian Matthews, who's been putting together a show as a tribute to Ray Johnson, who is someone of... They called him, I believe it's the most famous unknown artist in the world,
yeah,
was his right. title, was his tagline. And he was the little bit that I know about him, he was a pop artist who was really into doing collage work, was really into correspondence art, where he would send mm-hmm. things around the country mm-hmm. and get people to work on it. And occasionally he did a form of impromptu performance art, typically called happenings, but he didn't really like that name, so he called them nothings. So that's where we come in. There's going to be a gallery art show at the Black Mountain College Museum on Broadway, just down from the Mellow Mushroom, on the 19th of February. And during that gallery opening, the Poetics Vanguard is going to be performing spoken word poetry as nothings, mm-hmm. as the impromptu performances throughout this gallery opening, just among the crowd. And trying to create a really immersive arts atmosphere is our goal. So it should be fun.
Well, that should be fun. Indeed, indeed. They do amazing programming at the Black Mountain College Museum and Arts Center. And this sounds like it's going to be yet another amazing performance / opening.
They've been doing a lot of amazing. The last few that I've been to were partnerships that they're doing mm-hmm. With the Media Arts Project,
right.
The MAP Downtown. And so the combined efforts of everyone at Black Mountain College Museum and then the digital media geniuses at the MAP were mm-hmm. Putting together pretty phenomenal shows at the Film Mechanic Studios in the River District.
Right.
And the Poetics Vanguard, members of the Vanguard, were able to tag in and work with them on that. And so it's a pretty natural progression. We're getting a little bit more involved with the museum, and that's really exciting considering the legacy mm-hmm. of some of the poetry that's come from the Black Mountain College.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Right, right. They had some pretty heavy dudes there.
Not messing around.
Who were your models when you started out in the spoken poetry world? How did you get into this?
Wow, that's a great question. I haven't been asked that in a long time.
I mean, Shakespeare is one thing, and that's spoken poetry for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would say that...
at a pretty high level.
yeah, he's kind of held as the...
He wasn't bad.
keeps the bar nice and high.
Yeah, yeah.
No doubt. To be honest, some local people, some lyricists that are friends of mine that did things a cappella were pretty amazing. But I had a fairly life-changing experience with a film, an independent film called Slam, where I was first exposed to that particular form of performance poetry through Saul Williams and Sonia Sohn. And the narrative of the whole movie really just reached into my heart. It has to do with a young black man in D.C. who picks up a small drug charge but is going to have to face time mandatory, and he's a writer, and he's a member of the community who actually helps encourage children to write and to explore their creative selves. And He's facing being locked up, and it's a really it's a little heart-wrenching, but funneling all of those big ideas through this medium of performance poetry was kind of his way of a coping mechanism. And I felt like some part of me really identified with that, you know. Definitely grew up a bit at risk myself, and when things were fairly dire, I feel like the arts kind of helped me. I hate the cliche that, like, art saved my life,
you know? Right, sure.
But there's some truth to it.
A grain of truth.
There really is. Right, and and so having witnessed this film and how he was using the art form to really manage his entire perspective on the world, I was extremely inspired by that. And I would say that not only as far as the performance art itself that he and Sonia Son exemplified in that movie, the fact that he was a teacher, and that actually in the movie, Sonia Son was a teacher going into prisons and teaching the inmates how to use their written voice and their speaking voice. And it was a pretty phenomenal methodology, I thought. And I'm sure that somehow I can point to that film and what I witnessed there as inspiration for not only my own spoken word performance, but also working with incarcerated and high-risk youth.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that that's probably the main route.
So it offered models on several different levels.
It did. Yeah. I was definitely moved by it. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited to learn that Saul Williams is going to be coming into Western North Carolina at Western Carolina University in February.
Of all places.
Right. I think he came last year. I'm not sure. But it was a one-shot deal, sort of in and out, and I'm glad he's managed to come back.
Yeah. I don't know. I've got to admit, I don't know Saul Williams, so tell me a little bit about his work.
The little bit that I know about his work is, interestingly enough, he also comes from an acting background. He's got a degree from Tisch, the NYU acting school. So he did a lot of traditional drama as well, and his love for language, I think, was born from there. And he also is sort of the cross-section between what I think is sort of academic poetry. He really has a very, his use of the language is unparalleled in a lot of ways. He's got a very distinct style and a really beautiful craftsmanship to his art.
Mm-hmm.
But he also has an extreme love for the culture of hip-hop. And so he, besides studying classic drama and poetry and things like that, he clearly has studied the artwork of MCs and people who do more progressive educational styles of rapping that are pretty prolific in their own right. And I feel like he struck the balance between the academic styles of poetry and literary art with the performance style akin to hip-hop MCs.
Well, I'll have to keep an eye out. He's going to be at Western, though.
He is. I can't remember the date offhand.
Yeah,
Might be able to dig that up, but I don't know right now.
Yeah, right. So we'll have to give an update on that at some point down the road.
Absolutely. I would love everyone to see him.
Yeah,
I think
keep
it's
me posted.
Well worthwhile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to try and lure him into Asheville or something.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great. He's pretty busy.
Yeah, I'm sure.
See what we can do. We'll put the bait out there for him somehow.
Yeah. Well, good. Good to know. Yeah. So, aside from the film, the slam film, whom did you listen to? Who are you hearing, really hearing?
Yeah, unfortunately.
You grew up in Philly, in Philadelphia?
Yeah. I grew up in Philly as a kid, and I think that definitely influenced my sensibilities as far as appreciating more urban art forms.
Yeah.
I definitely have a strong appreciation for hip-hop and a lot of the MCs that... There was a transitional point where a lot of the radio hip-hop was extremely negative and extremely
misogynistic
degenerating on a lot of levels, and I felt like they were misusing an incredibly valuable tool that's available to us as a culture, because hip-hop has really aligned itself with youth culture in a way that no one really could have predicted.
It's really the rock and roll of our...
It is extremely influential, and I feel like... to the discredit of the record companies, they put out almost exclusively the most sensationalist, most brutal hip-hop they can possibly put on the air, because it is so sensationalist, using the, gun, sex, violence, drugs, and the whole thug concept as a device to keep kids' attention, because it's got that shock value. But when I learned more about some of the conscious hip-hop and some of the MCs that were using the tools to actually educate the hip-hop community about relevant topics of what's going on in this country and in our neighborhoods and with our children and with our, you know, just our ways of life here in America. I was really moved by a lot of MCs. And not living, you know, I grew up in Philly, and so that influenced my taste. But then I was in sort of a, you know, small town Virginia for a long time and didn't get a whole lot of exposure to anything live. So
I bet.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, we ended up being co-opted to be a suburb of D.C., and it just got worse. It was very, very strange. In any case, traveling all over the place, once I got out of school, I had the chance to visit 8 states in 7 years, and being in New York and being in the Bay Area and being in towns that were all smaller, there was always some type of poetry around. Whether it's just an open mic in a cafe in the, you know, some podunk little country town, somebody is trying their hand at not just singer-songwriter things, you know, one mic, one guitar, you know, one, you know, basically no technical assistance, and poetry. There was always poetry around, and I was always just fascinated by something that was being said by anyone that was getting up there. Some of it wasn't in my taste so much, but I always heard something across the entire country over the course of the past couple of decades that was inspiring. So I have a hard time pointing to just a couple of influences, because I feel like it's been more of a mosaic of all the different experiences that I've had.
Yeah. So who are some MCs whose work you really respected and really enjoyed?
I definitely feel like the cultural consciousness of Black Thought from the Roots is pretty phenomenal. Mos Def is very stylish, and he genuinely, purposefully seems to want to speak to people, you know, people from his community in Brooklyn, and it speaks to the world as well. Talib Kweli, there's something really compelling about Aesop Rock as well. He's not necessarily the most accessible MC. He's not using a narrative form of poetry to get his ideas across. It's actually, it seems like stream of consciousness almost to me, which, you know, forces you to tune in a different way. You've got to listen a little harder to get the actual overarching themes of what he's talking about. But his verbal dexterity is unparalleled as far as I can tell. And when you do start to dig in and pull out some of the themes of what he's talking about, he's fairly prolific. And I really appreciate changing the style from being exclusively narrative into something that is more poetic and more of a dance of words allows other MCs and artists to be more flexible. So those are some of my favorites for sure.
Yeah, nice. And we're back, and that was Pussifer. Interesting, richer instrumentally than some DJs get. Or is he a DJ? Would you call him a DJ?
No, actually, he's a...
Or MC, rather?
Yeah, no, he's a lyricist, actually. His name is Maynard. He's the frontman for a very popular band called Tool, and another band called Perfect Circle. And this project called Pussifer, he says, is the project that allows him to get all those voices in his head out that don't fit into Tool or Perfect Circle. So it's a pretty broad...
He's a busy man.
He is. He's a prolific lyricist as well, and an incredibly gifted musician. So. Mm-hmm.
Does he play instruments? Do you know?
He's a guitarist, but he's primarily a vocalist, as far as I know.
Yeah.
But he's busy.
That busy guy. Really, really. Yeah, interesting stuff. Well, so you're working on some new material for this Friday?
I'm working on it. It's not getting very far. Yeah, it's been a pretty epic run of writer's block, to the point of like not necessarily having a full set of pieces that I feel like are the most current and the most relevant work that I want to be putting out there right now. So it's interesting. I've started just putting out what I can, squeezing out moments here and there to write poetry, and there are clips, which I've nicknamed Sparks. And, you know, occasionally I just have to throw sparks at these shows because that's the only new and relevant thing. It's not a full... Traditionally, slam poems are about 3 minutes long, and I definitely have not had the bandwidth to put together
the
a poem that long.
We have a new metaphor for that.
Psychic bandwidth.
That access, right. So how do you work when you're putting together a piece? Do you work verbally? Do you use recording technology? How do you work?
It varies drastically, which is probably part of why it's hard to just clock in and make it happen. A lot of times I'm struck with inspiration, something that's been bubbling up and simmering for a while finally sort of comes out in one good burst, and that's usually the full piece. And but occasionally, I flirt with emceeing. I'm nothing akin to an MC. As a poet, there is a lot of rhythm in what I do, but I definitely could not call myself an MC as far as hip-hop is concerned. Mm-hmm. But I like to flirt with it. It's definitely fun to try and dance with the language like that. And occasionally, I can create some content riffing off of, some poetry that I already have in my repertoire, using phrases and verses from that, and then trying to create new verses with a flow that sews it all up. I nicknamed that technique weaving. Weaving in and out of stuff that I've written with freestyle. Mm-hmm. And so occasionally there's new work from that, but it's definitely few and far between lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm glad to know that even, poets who are working in other modes have writer's block, even if you're not writing as such.
Rest assured.
Yeah, well, good.
I don't know. I wouldn't wish it on anyone, but it's good. It's good to just take stock once in a while and looking at all the different smaller pieces that I've been putting out there. I'm trying to find threads and themes, and I've noticed that working on the macrocosmic perspective, looking at trying to carve out a worldview through poetry, and then what's been happening is the reeling it back in and making things that are more personal and more intimate. Mm-hmm. And I feel like trying to juxtapose those things is a worthwhile challenge, and makes it even more relevant, I hope. That's the gist.
Sure. Well, without the personal, what is the rest of it?
Right.
You got to have it anchored. And for me. Yeah,
that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
I try and keep it personal, even if it's a poem that's more looking at the worldview. It's definitely from what I feel is a fairly unique perspective. I've lived a very topsy-turvy, a little bit haphazard life, and I try and draw from all of it as much as anyone.
So you have any sparks you could throw out today?
Spark. Let's see. I had another poem that I can deliver. Okay. As far as the sparks go, I might have to hold off.
Yeah, we'll save those for Friday.
Yeah, come check them out there.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta draw the hammer back, aim, and just start swinging at these matters of fact that are constantly attacking our habitat. Me. Well, I slipped through every crack and broke every habit that these fat cats set up for me to battle back against this entire industry of mass manipulation with everything I've got. You know the ones? Pushing product placement like we really need a corporation's interest to keep running this nation. Listen closer. These are the cats carving our place in history as a generation who stole the future from our children. System, failure equals you with the most greed wins. But clear eyes recognize it's the wrong prize to compromise your freedom for mere comfort, because it's completely missing the plot, and I got a hunch who's not. We got these so-called fathers at the top, cultivating cash crops of kids gone criminal because they couldn't take the mind rape subliminal messages telling us we're worth less. So now I'm here, and we are all here raising voices in debate over the choices of we, the people, in this United States.
Nice.
They say they never really miss you till you dead or you gone. So on that note, I'm leaving after the song. So you ain't gotta feel no way about Jay so long. But at least let me tell you why I'm this way. Hold on, I was conceived by Gloria Carter and Agnes Reed, who made love on the sycamore tree, which makes me a more sicker MC. And my mama would claim at 10 pounds when I was born, I didn't give her no pain. Although through the years I gave her her fair share, I gave her a first real scare. I made it for birth when I got here. She knows my purpose wasn't purpose. I ain't perfect, I care, but I feel worthless, cause my shirts wasn't matching my gear. And I'm just scratching the surface, cause what's buried under there was a kid torn apart once his pop disappeared. I went to school, got good grades, could behave when I wanted, but I had demons deep inside that were raised when confronted. Hold on.
Sean was a very shy child growing up. He was into sports, and a funny story is, at four, he taught himself how to ride a bike. A two-wheel at that. Isn't that special? But I noticed the change in him when me and my husband broke up.
Now all the teachers couldn't reach me and my mama couldn't beat me hard enough to match the pain of my pop not seeing me. So with that disdain in my membrane, got on my pimp game, fuck the world. My defense came, then the Haven introduced me to the game. Spanish Jose introduced me to Kane. I'm a hustler now.
And that's Wordplay for this week. Tune in again next week for more poetry on the ether. For more information about today's show, you can check naturespoetry.blogspot.com, where you'll also find a link to the catalog of previous Wordplay shows, now mostly up on iBiblio in our permanent archive until the internet melts down. And don't forget, Friday, January the 22nd, you can hear the Poetics Lounge program Planetary at the Hookah Bar and actually meet live and in person our guest today, Graham Hackett. Graham, thanks so much for being in.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Appreciate it.
But that was my way to keep him close to me and out of trouble.
Goodbye to the game, all the spoils, the adrenaline rush. Your blood boils, you in a spot, knowing cops can rush. And you in a drop, you so easy to touch. No 2 days are alike, except the first of 15, pretty much. And trust, it's a word you seldom hear from us. Hustlers, we don't sleep, we rest one eye up. In a drought can define a man, when the well dries up. You learn to work the water, without work you thirst till you die. Yep. And niggas get tired of a product, the little brothers ring fingers get cut up to show mothers they really got them. And this is the stress I live with, till I decided to try this rap shit for a living. I pray I'm forgiven for every bad decision I made, every sister I played. Cause I'm still paranoid to this day, and it's nobody's fault. I made the decisions I made, this is the life I chose, or rather the life that chose me. If you can't respect that, your whole perspective is whack. Maybe you'll love me when I fade to black. You can't respect that, your whole perspective is whack. Maybe you love me when I fade to black. If you can't respect that, your whole perspective is whack. Maybe you love me when I fade to black. If you can't respect that, your whole perspective is whack. Maybe you love me when I fade to black.